We'll be talking about trains in this next segment. First, a few auditory aids. We'll start with the sound of two freight trains. Try this one on for size. That is a very large freight train led by some very large and powerful engines. And so is this next recording, also of a freight train led by the same kind of engines. Can you spot the difference? They don't sound the same, nor should they. That second train is on a model layout, an N scale. 1 foot in N scale is about 160 feet in the real world. Building these little trains, and even smaller ones, is the business of Micro Trains, with headquarters and factory in Talent, north of Ashland. The company was born in the Rogue Valley a generation ago and is the focus of this month's edition of The Ground Floor, our survey of origin stories of regional companies. Eric Smith is the president and CEO now, and he's in the studio with me. Eric, good to see you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So this really starts with not the trains themselves so much as the couplers. What was it that your father-in-law invented?
Right. Back before World War II, both he and his twin brother, they had such a love and affection for model trains that they realized back at that time that the couplers, which are the way the cars and locomotives are connected together, was just this awkward, out-of-size hook. And so through a lot of labor and intense R&D, trial and error, they came up with what they patented and what it's known today as the magnetic coupling system. And how it works is that it is as close to real life in both appearance and operation that you can get in model train size. And so from that point on, the company took off like wildfire. I often will describe Keith Edwards, my late father-in-law, along with his twin brother, that they are to model railroading what Wrigley's is to gum. It
really?
Was such a big deal.
That close to it, wow.
Yeah.
So Keith and Dale Edwards, KND, well, what do you know? And what was the name of their company?
KD Quality Products. Keith Edwards, Dale Edwards, twin brothers. And so they just took their initials, KADEE, and that's became the company name, the corporate name.
And so how did this evolve into so another set of steps here for it to become Micro Trains?
Right. In 1972, the twin brothers, the business, KD, they started a division known as Micro Trains, and they came out with a full-scale model train freight car. And as you said earlier, N-scale, 1 to 160 ratio, and that started Micro Trains. And the level of detail back at that time, as is still the case today, is superior. And so the company, the division, Micro Trains, continued to grow and grow with more and different styles of freight cars. And then in 1990, Micro Trains broke away from KD and became a corporation of its own.
So did KD ever make the HO size trains, which are more or less standard?
They do. Mm-hmm. They have, I'm not sure quite how many different types of cars that they make, but after being successful with the coupling system in HO scale, which is twice the size of N scale and even larger sizes, they then began tooling up and releasing HO scale freight cars.
So to making the actual Micro Trains, we're talking about half the size of the HO scale. Was that just a decision to help apartment dwellers? Or, I mean, what was the attraction to N scale trains in the first place?
You're on track there, no pun intended. The N scale, because of its size, it does appeal to people who either don't want to or can't afford the space that you would need for a larger scale model train layout. And so you can have, I'm looking at your desk here, and you could have a full empire on this thing in N scale, literally.
The table's about 4 by 5, maybe 4 by 6 feet, so
right.
That would be an impressive layout. We're talking to Eric Smith, who's the president and CEO of Micro Trains, Inc., based in Talent, with about 60 employees and 33,000 square feet of factory. This is part of this month's edition of The Ground Floor. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So how big a deal is I made the joke in writing our blurbs about big money in small trains. The small trains part, you said, comes through. The big money part, you're not so sure about.
Right. The joke in our industry is, how do you make $1 million in the model train manufacturing industry? And the answer is, you start with $2 million. And so that's kind of our tongue-in-cheek approach to the industry. But it's been good.
But you've kept going for, well, as Micro Trains, for 30-some-odd years?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. The line started in 1972, so we recognized our, what would it be, this past year in 2017 would have been 45 years.
Wow.
And so we're now into our 46th year.
So was it just N-scale in the beginning, or what, did Z-scale come along later?
Right. Z-scale is even smaller than N, and it's 1 to 220 ratio. And so if you look at your index finger, that would be the size of a locomotive.
Wow.
And they operate. You can have sound, lights, independent operation of between different locomotives on the same track through digital command control, as is the case in N-scale and all the other scales. And so we started making the Z-scale, oh gosh, it's been about 20 years now. And the line is not as extensive as N-scale, but it appeals, Z-scale appeals to those who want even less space. You know,
so I could really have an empire on this
table,
right?
Exactly that, yes.
So I mean, I'm just amazed sometimes at the level of detail as I look at the various products offered on the website. I mean, things like freight cars with graffiti on them.
Right.
So you're not only staying modern and realist, but it's a high level of detail, too. I mean, which must be difficult on really small surfaces.
Well, it is. And that's a credit to our crew. We have a full engineering and tooling department, and so all of the molds that cast the cars, the shells and detail parts, it's hardened tool steel, and it's injection molding. That's the manufacturing process. And then after the parts are cast, we'll paint, and then we'll pad print the artwork, the railroad logos. And then in recent years, we've been very successful and had a lot of fun with graffiti. And that's replicating what you see out on the rails today, and that is the tag artists.
There's a video available online at YouTube that very well done from a couple of years ago, and all of the stuff that you're talking about is laid out right there. I guess you don't worry about competitors stealing your secrets.
Right. Well, there's some things that go on that were not in the film, but for the most part, what you see on the film is what you see if you're there. And by the way, we readily welcome tours, and so the public is welcome to come in. A tour takes about 45, 50 minutes, and the door is open.
Is it a trick to stay in business or thriving in business in model railroading in this age? I mean, it's not like railroads are as central to American travel as they were once. You know, I mean, in the age of Amtrak, many fewer people travel by train, at least between cities, than used to, although they've brought the numbers up, I should point out. But you know, when the last generation was looking at making model trains, railroads are still very much part of that generation's life, and not so much now.
Not as much as in the past days, but still a very vital fabric in the U.S. culture. And there's still a lot of railroading going on, real life size, and of course, model trains, you know, follows the real life in the Northeast, the Midwest, and even the West Coast as well.
Have there been some real dips in the market over the years, times when it just seemed like people were, like model railroading itself was going out of style?
Not so much plural in terms of, you know, different dips, but I would say that we certainly were affected by the Great Recession, as so many businesses and individuals were back in 2008, 2009. But we persevered, and here we are today and doing well.
Eric Smith is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the president and CEO of Microtrains, based in Talent. We have an email here from Wolfgang in Sunny Valley who wants to know, where are the cars and accessories made, not just assembled, but made?
Right here in Talent, Oregon.
Everything is right there.
Right there, yep. We are one of the very few, there's only two or three, still operating manufacturers of model railroading. All of the other companies, our competitors, are all made overseas.
How can you afford to keep doing it in this country?
Well, we've learned and adapted to being able to do quick change, and so that we can do production runs, large or small, and we've just expanded our line so that we have a little bit of everything to appeal to model railroaders of all types.
And I've noticed, too, that it's not just a matter of coming up with an idea for a car or a locomotive, but you actually have the specifications for the real thing. You actually keep the locomotive cyclopedias in your
we do.
In your shop?
We have an extensive library of railroad cyclopedias, we call them, railroad magazines. We have a lot of material that comes in from model railroaders, photographs, suggestions, requests. And that's the single largest source of our new ideas, new products that we come up with, and that is the feedback and the request and the suggestions that model railroaders bring to us.
I imagine you can't act upon all requests, but I mean, what are some of the ones where you've actually made a product based on things that people in the model railroading hobby were asking about?
Oh, gosh, almost everything. One example would be, and it's several years ago now, is we came out with a depressed center flat car, and that had been requested by a number of model railroaders. And this is a large flat car. It's about 60 foot in length, and it has a depressed center area so that it could carry heavy, tall loads, and they had to lower the
so the floor is lower to allow the load to be higher,
right? Mm-hmm. And that way it could get through the tunnels and not get knocked off.
You know, being a rail buff myself of the bigger stuff, I know that people can get into some fairly esoteric things. I mean, so you get requests for things like, I'd like to see an Alco locomotive with a General Motors engine, that sort of thing.
We do. And the tongue-in-cheek joke is someone will recommend or ask that we build something, and it is obscure or very, very unique, and they always say, I'll buy one. Well, one doesn't go too far.
Can't set up a whole production line for one.
Exactly.
But what are some of the minimum runs? I mean, when you're trying to run things out of a factory, I mean, what's like a minimum number of pieces you'll make of a certain box car or tank car?
We have two categories of our production. One is our general releases, and that's what we come up with and we package under our name. And then the other category is special runs, and this is where we'll contract projects from individuals, companies, model hobby shops, organizations of all types, and the minimum run is 300 pieces. And our general releases, we keep the quantities proprietary.
So I was going to ask you what some of the secrets are. What's the sales level you're running? You're still privately held, right?
We are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's also proprietary.
5 million, 10 million?
Not quite that high.
Okay. All right. So making some money. As you pointed out, how do you make $1 million in the model railroad business? Start with two. What is your best-selling product year in, year out? I mean, are you selling lots of steam locomotives or diesel locomotives, or what's the big thing?
Yeah. For Microtrains, while we do offer locomotives, our bread and butter are the freight cars. And so the tried and true 40 and 50-foot standard boxcar, single sliding door, and by the way, our doors open and close, like the real thing, they are year in and year out the biggest sellers. The thing that product category that has really taken off and been successful for the last several years is the graffiti artwork, the tag art that mm-hmm. we apply to the cars.
That is quite popular, is it?
It is very popular.
Wow. I mean, I imagine there are some purists, though, who's like, yeah, I can't stand to see graffiti on the freight cars.
Once in a while, we'll get a letter or an email, and someone will complain. And the complaint is, or their angle, is they're saying, you know, how can you promote and shine a spotlight on what is illegal, an illegal act? And that is when a tag artist will go into a rail yard and apply their artwork to a car. And our response is, well, we're not promoting it. We're just simply replicating it. And the demand is there, and so we're meeting the demand.
You also put out cars that look, you know, fairly rusted and weathered, too, don't you?
We do. That's another application where, just as you said, rusted, weathered, you know, a car sees years of service, gets all grimed up, and we can apply that type of artwork, we call it, to replicate a weathered freight car.
Eric Smith, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange on this month's edition of The Ground Floor. He's the CEO and president of Microtrains, based in Talent. So where are Microtrains products sold? It's not direct to the public entirely, right?
We do offer direct sales. We have an online shopping cart, retail store. The bulk of our sales is we act as our own distributor, and so we will sell and distribute to model hobby shops, specialty shops around the country, and international as well. Our largest export country is Canada, and then after that is Switzerland and Germany. We export to Japan, other countries throughout Europe as well, and down to Australia.
So do you make Swiss and German model trains?
We don't. There are companies over in those countries that make their own prototypes for their national railroads. But there is a small but very, dedicated mm-hmm. U.S. model train customer base in these countries.
All right. So everything you put out looks like North American railroading.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
What are the challenges, though, of trying to keep making model railroading equipment in an age when, I checked, you can get a free simulator for your phone for what it's like to operate a locomotive?
Right. The challenge is coming up with, determining, and then committing to tooling cars where we'll be able to justify the expense in doing all of that through sales. And at any given time, we'll have half a dozen projects in the queue where we're at various stages in the design and research, the tooling, and then the prototype manufacturing, and then eventually into full production.
So do you look at events coming down the road that might be significant for railroading and allow you to make new products? You know, Amtrak turning 50 in 3 years, I guess, is one milestone.
And we do that, yes. And for us, it's not so much tooling a car that would tie in, but rather producing and decorating to support, promote, and memorialize those events.
So every company has a near-death experience. Was there one for Microtrains?
I would say the recession back in 2008, 2009. You know, let's face it, model railroading, a model hobby pastime, it's not a, you know, must-have. Of course, others would argue this, but it's not like food, water, and shelter. And so we felt the recession. And it there were times where we would wake up and sweat a little bit, but we got through it.
Was it ever to the point of like, well, maybe this is the day?
I wouldn't say that so much, but you know, there were times where we just had to watch every penny coming in and do all we could to reduce the pennies going out the door.
So and it sounds like when you mentioned acting as your own distributor, you've really sort of integrated the company in such a way so that enough of the functions are done within your roof that you can keep doing them.
Yes, we're a total turnkey operation, completely proprietary, composed. Everything from, it's all soup to nuts right there. The design, the tooling, the manufacturing, the custom decorating, the final assembly, packaging, marketing, everything is done under one roof.
Wow. So are there any issues? I mean, with all the plastics you're working with, do you have some issues with trying to deal with environmental stuff and getting your chemicals?
Yeah, thankfully, no. You know, the manufacturing, there's such little waste, if you will, and all of the key materials, plastic, paints, they're all fully approved, and we don't have any issues there.
All right, so this all starts with the magnetic coupler created by, was it Keith Edwards?
Yes.
Keith and Dale Edwards, who led to KD. KD still exists, too.
They do. They're in the Rogue Valley as well.
All right, and spun off Microtrains many years ago. Microtrains is where Eric Smith is now the CEO and president. Thanks for joining us today on
Thank
the
you.
Ground Floor.
Appreciate it.